Welcome to the Toncast, the only podcast out there where every week the host is different, but the very special guest always stays the same. I'm very special guest Todd Robert Anderson. There's no host this week. It's the first ever Toncast of 2014. I took a number of weeks off. Why? Because I'm lazy. And it's holidays, and then I had my birthday. And, yeah, I just didn't have the time. When I did have the time, I didn't feel like it. I've been lazy. What do you want? What do you want from me? This is just a stupid hobby. Nobody listens except for Susan Tankersley. I don't even think she listens all the time. I met a wonderful woman named Jody, and she listened to one. She's a nice lady. She listened to one. But I don't know that she'll listen to this one. I don't know if anyone. I'll probably listen to it eventually. You know, I download them to my phone and then I listen to them. But I don't know why I keep doing this. I really don't. What I need is a team of producers. If there happens to be a team of producers out there who are willing to produce the Toncast, let me know. That'd be great. I'll need you to do the bookings, get the hosts, and do all the post-production work and recording work and leave me just to do talking. That's all I want to do is talking. I don't want to do all the other stuff. I like to talk. I want to talk and be celebrated for talking. That's it. I don't want to have to do any legwork. The producers, you also are going to have to do like PR advertising, get the word out about the Toncast. Cause I don't feel like, I just want to do the talking part and get the rewards. I want rewards. I want to be famous, and I want the Toncast to launch me into a movie career, a major motion picture career. Or just like, you know, just good budgeted indies. You know, I don't necessarily want to be a superhero. I'm not into that. I mean, I would be like I could be an Indiana Jones. I would like to do that. I'd like to be the first ever out of the gate 40-year-old action guy, but not like a punch and fight guy, just like a shoot at people, because that's easier than fighting. I mean, I'll do like a punch and fight, but I don't want to learn martial arts. I don't want to have to fly around and kick around. I just want to punch people, have the punches land and the people drop and the audience cheers. And then I have a gun and I shoot people. Or, you know, I would do sci-fi too, like a laser gun. I would do a laser gun kind of movie. Those are the things that I'd like to do. I'll be horror movie too. I'll do horror movies. You know, where I'm the girl who survives to the end, the virginal girl. So I'll star in some horror shows. I guess I'll do comedies, although comedies, a lot of pressure, you know, when it's a comedy, because people come and they expect it to be funny. And that, like, I feel a lot of pressure because I don't necessarily know what's funny from what isn't, you know. I'm me. I see what I think is funny. It's not necessarily what everybody thinks is funny. And I think, you know, a lot of times movies that are supposed to be funny aren't funny because they're trying to be funny for everyone instead of a select few people. And just like when the onus is on me to be funny, I get nervous. Like, what if, how can I possibly please everyone? But, you know, I'll do some comedies. I'll do some failed studio comedies. I'll do that. Yeah, so that's, I need my production team to assemble. So, get on it, you guys. Let's make 2014 the year of the Toncast. You know, it'll be my WTF, my Doug Loves Movies. I've been doing it for a while now, but I feel like 2014 things are really going to start taking off. This is the year. This is the year where the magic happens. It's everything I've been working for. 2014, super excited. So we haven't talked in a while, and by we I mean me. So you don't know what's been going on. Last time I did a Toncast was before, you know, the holidays. It was a crazy one with my kid, who called himself Grumpy Pants. I hope that episode wasn't too annoying. I did my best not to become annoyed, with my son, cause he was being difficult in his silliness. He's in a stage right now where he thinks the funniest thing is also the most obnoxious pain in the ass thing to do. And I'm sure, like, maybe from an outside perspective, it's hilarious. But you know, when you're in the moment with him, it can be trying, but that's good because he's in a stage of development that he's supposed to be. If these things weren't happening, you know, we'd be concerned that there was something wrong. So, you know, that's the wonderful thing about kids is when they're being assholes, you know, that's good. It's a stage they're going through. Although, you know, I'm kind of want to huck them, you know, out the window, you know, hit them with a pan or something. But you know, they frown on that these days. So, you know, you just gotta kind of talk through these difficulties. I probably would have been, well, my parents didn't really whack me around, but my grandmother, if she would have whacked me if I'd behaved that way. So he's lucky that she's not here taking care of him. He'd get whacked around a lot more. Anyway, well, not whacked around, just she was a spanker. Spanks. But now, you know, nobody spanks anymore. I mean, except, you know, well, some people do, I guess. But it's rarer now. Most people reserve spanks for, you know, other adults in, carnal situations. Who doesn't love a good carnal spank? I always say. Actually, that's probably the first time I've ever said that. So for me to say I always say it is ridiculous. That was a ridiculous statement. I've never said that before, but I just said it. So, you know, fuck it. Who cares? Anyway, so I had Christmas, you know, and the new year. And we had a staycation this year. The fam hung out. We got a lot of play dates for the kid. Because the problem with staycations is, you know, the kid kind of starts climbing the walls. So we had to get him a lot of play dates. He hung out with people. We went out with people too and had some fun. Christmas Day was nice. Some friends came over. My in-laws came over. I got kind of drunk and yelled, at my stepfather-in-law about a movie. And one of our guests became very uncomfortable because she thought we were really going to fight. But we weren't. We do that when we've had a few drinks. We yell at each other about movies. Cause he thinks I'm a cynic about movies and I think he's a softie about movies. We were talking about movies that were bleak for the sake of being bleak. I'm not a big fan of movies that are bleak, you know, and he said, well, it's a reflection of, real life. They're reflecting real life and sometimes real life is bleak. And I said, yeah, no, I get that. I'm not saying it's, you know, not a, a well done movie in a technical way and well acted, this movie we were talking about. But, you know, I didn't see the point of me having to sit through, you know, it was just pointing out that, you know, that cults or whatever are bad, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, that movie, The Pianist, that got all those Oscars awards, and it had the Adrian Brody, Adrian Brody movie. I prefer Splice. You should see Splice. It's about an alien and sexual. I like sexual aliens, species, Splice, sexy aliens. They're dangerous though. You gotta watch out. But anyway, The Pianist is a movie about a pianist during the Holocaust, you know. And it's basically, you know, starts in the, you know, the ghetto, the Jewish ghetto, which was, you know, it's just awful. And it's about this guy who's hiding, trying to survive the Nazis. And I get that. And I understand that happened, but I wasn't sure why I sat through 2.5 hours of it. Cause I'm already aware that the Holocaust was awful. I mean, I've been down that road so many times now that when you make just another movie about a Holocaust and just to point out how awful the Holocaust was, is that a solid point? Is that something I really need? You know, I just saw 12 Years a Slave, right? And you know, that movie, if there had been as many movies about slavery as there are about the Holocaust, I probably would have had the same reaction to 12 Years a Slave that I did The Pianist, because it's a deeply unpleasant movie. But, you know, there aren't very many frank movies about slavery. It's basically that miniseries Roots from the 70s and Tarantino's bizarre Django Unchained movie, which had very realistic sequences of slave, you know, violence against slaves, but the movie was so ludicrous and silly, it didn't make sense to have those sequences of brutality. Whereas 12 Years a Slave is just 2 hours and 20 minutes of unrelenting awfulness. You realize I mean, I like it. I think it's a good movie. I think it's an important movie. It may have been a bit on the long side, but perhaps that was a choice because, you know, you had to feel the awfulness of it. But, you know, that there aren't that many movies about slavery because America, Americans, don't like to, have that personal history shoved in their face and deal with it emotionally, whereas the Holocaust is something awful that happened, but you know, we heroically trumped the Nazis in the end, so that's okay to sit with. And I'm not saying they shouldn't keep making Holocaust movies, because I guess, I don't know, do younger generations not watch old movies? Because I'm a person who watches old movies, you know, so I've seen a lot of old movies, and I just the other day I watched Yojimbo, Akira Kurosawa's Yojimbo, which is the inspiration for so many other movies, like those Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, Fistful of Dollars, and, you know, even the a Bruce Willis movie called Last Man Standing. There's tons of, it's very, very influential, samurai picture. And, you know, and it's very entertaining, and it was made in like 61 or something like that. And it was very violent for the time. And it's incredibly entertaining. It's an incredibly entertaining movie, and it's old, and you know, it's just, I think a lot of people have prejudices against old movies because they think they'll be paced too slowly, you know, and all that. And I think in some cases movies should slow it the hell down, you know, calm down, you guys. You know, it's pacing's not, if it's entertaining throughout, it's well paced, even if there isn't a giant explosion every 5 minutes. Not that I have anything wrong with, I mean, if you're going to make a movie about explosions, you should blow something up every 5 minutes. If you make a movie with Jason Statham, every 5 minutes, something violent should be happening, and it should be crazy and awesome, and there shouldn't be a lot of talking. I have a problem with Statham movies where there's too much talking. Not that I don't mind Statham talking, but it's just, you know, you go to a Statham movie to see things blow up and see him beat people up, and that's why you go to a Statham movie. So they should keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the point is I got into a shouting match with my stepfather-in-law, and I made one of our guests. We had a few people come over who, you know, were holiday orphans. Their families were elsewhere and they weren't traveling to see their families. So they came by, and, this one, old friend of mine brought his girlfriend, and she's a sweetheart, just gorgeous young blonde woman, and she is very sweet, soft-spoken, and good sense of humor. But she had not experienced, you know, a holiday here before, so didn't know that sometimes I get in shouting matches with people about stupid things like movies. And of course, you know, it wasn't going to come to blows, but, you know, it was just, you know, I feel bad because we made her uncomfortable. But at the same time, you know, whatever, it's my house. So no violence, just yelling. There was no abusive language. I mean, my kid was right there. We were just sort of in a heated debate about bleak movies and the whether or not they have a point. That's, you know, that's what happened. So that was Christmas, and New Year's was mellow, just chilling at the house, watched the East Coast feed of the CNN broadcast with what is this, Anderson Cooper and the lady who gay people like, whatever her name is, and not that there's anything wrong with liking her. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I just, she's not my cup of tea. But she seems to have a lot of gay fans, like a gay fan base. That's why I said that. Now, like, I've dug myself a hole. Now I sound like a horrible homophobe, but I didn't mean it negatively. I was just, that's what I understand the facts to be. I'm not, God damn it. God damn, I'm a sensitive white middle class man. I do my best. I'm open-minded and believe in rights for all human beings. I'm liberal, for crying out loud. Get off my back. I didn't mean anything by it. Anyway, we let the kids stay up till 9 and watch that and see the ball drop, and then we put them to bed and, you know, drank a bunch of beers. Listen to tunes. You know, it was easy. Chill. I don't like to make a big deal out of New Year's Eve, because I think when you do, you know, your expectations get too high and the whole thing goes to shit. I had a lot of bad New Year's, like when you want to go to a party and the party is bad. Usually New Year's parties are bad. They're not good. So you just chill. You just chill at home. You know, a couple years before, well, I think actually 1 year after my son was born, we got a babysitter. It's hard to find a babysitter on New Year's. That's another reason you stay home if you have a kid, because, you know, babysitters like to do stuff and have fun and go out and drink and try to hook up and all that. And, you know, they aren't available on New Year's. It's just easier to stay home. F it. No disappointment. And, you know, you got to pay babysitters extra if they're babysitting on New Year. They're giving up their New Year's Eve, you know, because it's a big deal for people. I guess. So anyway, that happened. And then, of course, the other day, I turned 42. So I'm now 42 years old. That was the other sort of event like that. My birthday comes so close after the holidays. It's always sort of subdued and quiet. But you know, I had a good birthday. But you know, I don't know. It's funny. You know, I think it's easier to have a giant birthday in this celebration in the spring or the summer, you know, because people, there's no holidays around, you know, like that. And so people are more ready to party, but they're less ready to party, you know, around your birthday. Although I am having my friend Steve, his birthday is a couple days after mine. So we decided to have a joint, birthday party, with some of our mutual friends, not a big thing, this Saturday. So I am doing like a little celebration, but on my birthday proper, you know, my in-laws took me out to dinner at an Italian joint. Then, after that, they took my son for a sleepover, and my wife and I, met a couple friends at a bar and, just had some drinks and hung out. And it was nice. It was mellow. I like a good, mellow, birthday party. Had some sex, with the wife, you know, it was good. I like sex. Sex is awesome. Anyway, so it was good times. But throughout all this, some, lesser good times were happening. Over the holidays, they sort of developed this weird sensation of pressure in my chest. And you know, I'm 42. Well, I was 41 going on 42 at the time. And that kind of thing makes you nervous because what is it? Could it be a heart problem? Am I having a heart thing? So I went to the doctor, you know, it was the weekend. So I had to go to an urgent care facility. And went into the doctor and he did an EKG test and the EKG test was fine. So he's like, "Oh, it's probably gas or heartburn or something." And I was like, "Really?" Cause it's really uncomfortable. It made it very, the holidays were kind of uncomfortable as a result. He said, you know, don't drink or drink caffeine or nicotine. Don't have any of that chocolate. Don't have any of that. And I said, "All right." So I didn't have any of that except, you know, on Christmas Day and New Year's Eve. So I was pretty healthy living. But the feeling in my chest wasn't going away. And, so I went to, back to my doctor, my regular doctor, and I was telling him what was going on. And they gave me another EKG to be sure. I said it was fine. And then he sent me to a GI, a gastroenterologist, and he said, "Well, I don't know what it is. You're going to have upper endoscopy. And if you don't know what that is, you know, they put you out." Well, they get, like, usually they put people into like what they call twilight sleep, where you're awake, but you're kind of out of it. I had an upper endoscopy like 11 years ago when I discovered I had a small hiatal hernia, which they were concerned had been exacerbated, had gotten larger, or something might have been part of the problem. A lot of possibilities, esophageal disease. Ulcers, all these things. So they put you out. In my case, they put me all the way out, because if you have sleep apnea, which, you know, I have mild sleep apnea, they put you all the way out. I'm not really sure why. Maybe so you don't snore and I don't know. I don't understand it. This is ask doctors. Anyway, they snake a tube down your throat with the camera on it and they look inside you. First time I had one, I got a really bad sore throat after that stuck around for a couple days. But this time, no sore throat. It was actually, wow, it was a lot easier. And the doctor said he couldn't see anything. Nothing. There was nothing. He didn't see anything. I still have the hiatal hernia, but it's the same. So he couldn't figure out. So, you know, they're doing a biopsy on some of my flesh, inner flesh, I guess. So hopefully nothing will turn up terrible and it'll just be another medical mystery to go along with my headache. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe the headache. If you never heard this podcast before, I've complained about having what they call a persistent daily headache, which is what I have. I have a headache every day, all the time. It's a fucking drag. It's awful. I go through cycles of trying to deal with it, maybe find an answer for it, and then giving up and just living with it. And I decided to, you know, try and deal with it before the holidays, because it's been getting worse. I actually went to a neurologist, and the neurologist tried a bunch of stuff, and none of it worked. And I'd been down that road before, but he was like, "Have you tried Botox?" And I said, "No, I've not tried Botox, although I hear, you know, I'd heard from some doctors that, you know, Botox helps, people with migraines, which sounds weird, apparently it's an effective treatment for migraine sufferers. So they wanted to try it on me. So I actually got Botox. And I'm an actor, for God's sake, who swore to God he would never get a Botox injection. Cause I just want to get old regular. I want to be a regular old guy, not, you know, puffy. But here it was a shot. Literally at helping this headache. So I got Botox injections, which took place a couple days before my endoscopy. Botox injections hurt so much. They hurt so much. I don't know why you would elect to do this for vanity reasons. You got to be super vain to want to go through that kind of pain. But I did, and I have to do it every 3 months. I do think, actually, to some degree, it's helped. I mean, my headache is not gone, but it certainly got lessened. So maybe it is helpful, but I don't know. That could just be a coincidence, 'cause, you know, my headache sometimes is bad and sometimes it's not. We'll see. There's no way of knowing. Gotta keep trying. You know, and then for the chest thing, 'cause they're thinking it's anxiety, they put me on Zoloft, which is supposed to treat anxiety. I don't like being on antidepressants. But I don't know what else to do. So there it is. There it is. You know all that's going on with me medically. I'm on Zoloft. There's nothing wrong with my stomach, even though it's been acting weird. And I get Botox injections. How about that? How about that for news about very special guest Todd Robert Anderson? I'm a fucking mess. I'm falling apart. God damn it. Well, I don't want to end on a sour note, so I'm going to just say some good things that happened. A week ago, I did, or a week and a half ago, I guess now, I did a storytelling show called Public School. I told the story about how I had a tumor in my thigh when I was 19 years old, and because I had just become sexually active, I thought it was AIDS or a sexually transmitted disease of some kind, was terrified. And then was actually relieved to find out that it wasn't, and it was just a possibly cancerous tumor in my thigh. I was relieved to hear I had possible cancer. But the story, I think, went well. People responded to it positively, and they paid attention, and I was entertaining for 7 minutes. Being alone on stage and being entertaining for 7 minutes is not easy. Stand-up comics don't have an easy time, and they have to be funny. My story didn't necessarily have to be funny. I think it had funny bits, but it wasn't, you know, when you're doing comp stand-up, you got to be funny. You got to give them a laugh a minute, you know, that's, or you're failing. That's too much pressure. Being funny is too much pressure. I prefer dramatic acting because it's not, it's funny. I usually, when I'm on, you know, dramatic shows, I'm usually the comic relief, but it's not uber. It's like, I don't have that desperation because it's just, I'm playing it dramatically, and it doesn't require like that comic energy, you know, that I don't necessarily feel comfortable there. You know, over the topness. I like subtle. I do subtle comedy work. That's my thing. You know, I'm Paul Ruddy. I'm Paul Ruddy. I like Paul Rudd. He's good. He's funny. I like that subtle kind of humor, not more than the sitcom-y kind of stuff. But anyway, that's a sidetrack, side note. A lady named Sarah Lang came to the storytelling show and told me on Twitter that it was a very sweet and funny story, and she thanked me, and that made me feel good. And then a surprise came in the mail the day before my birthday, because my birthday was on a Sunday, and this came in the mail on Saturday, because, you know, they don't deliver mail on Sunday. But it was just in time for my birthday, and it was a gift from one-time Toncast host Susan Tankersley of a Bill Hicks CD entitled Dangerous, thus completing my Bill Hicks collection. I now have all the Bill Hicks albums and DVDs. I'm a big Bill Hicks fan. So that was like a genuine surprise, and it was super sweet. And it's one of the only material rewards I've received for podcasting. And it feels good. Feels good that someone enjoys my yammerings enough to take the time to spend a little money and give me a little treat. So thank you so much, Susan. I was deeply touched. And then my friend Skelton got me a bottle of Craganmore, which is a really nice scotch, single malt scotch, and a copy of RoboCop on Blu-ray. because I don't have enough copies of RoboCop lying around. But it's a new, you know, because the crappy PG-13 new RoboCop reboot show is coming out, so they're releasing the old RoboCop on all new transfer. So excited about that! I'm excited to watch that. Yeah, thank you for your cooperation. Good day. Ah, dead or alive, you're coming with me. I love RoboCop. A PG-13 RoboCop remake? Stupid. Fuck that. Dumb. Why? Wasting everyone's time. But that's okay. I'm not going to go see it. I'm just going to watch my fancy new Blu-ray of the classic RoboCop. Love RoboCop. Anyway, I think that's about it. I've updated you of my life. I'm going to try and find someone to host this. See what I can dig up for next week. Yeah. Hey, that's it. That's the Toncast, first of 2014, an update of my magical life. And, I hope yours is good, and I'll see ya. I will see ya around.